Bentley's out with yet another. This one's a big one. Number one New York Times bestselling author David Baldacci introduces a new unforgettable character. Let's talk about this. Your latest is out, One Good Deed. Is that all you do is, eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, and write books, my friend?
Some days it seems that way. My wife would probably say that, yes. But I do spend a lot of time writing, but I still enjoy it even after all these years.
So that was certainly a compliment to you. Okay, One Good Deed. Now, my notes do tell me that this is a departure from your recent series. Tell us what your storyline is.
Yeah, it started out as a short story. I was on book tour last year, and I wanted something to do in the evenings, and I had this idea. I love crime noir. I love the 1940s period, the Seamuses and the Gumshoes, Raymond Chandler's The World, Philip Marlowe, and I wanted to write what I thought was going to be a short story that maybe might be sold as an e-book. And before I knew it, after probably 3 months went by, I had over 400 pages, and it tells the story of Alan Wishes Archer. He's a World War II vet. He comes back to the States after the war, gets in some trouble, goes to prison for a crime he didn't commit. Then he gets out, he's on parole, and he has to go to this place called Paca City. I don't tell you what state it's in, it's sort of in the southern Midwest, and to serve his parole. And it's a little town that wants to be a big town, and you've got a lot of competing forces there, the people who want great wealth and want to change the town and make it into something else. And he gets involved in a lot of bad things, and he has to sort of use his wits and whatever skills he has to survive, and runs into a lot of really interesting people, some bizarre situations. But I love that time period. After World War II, the 1940s, the country was in total transition. Troops were coming back home. Women were being forced out of the workplace back into the homes. Huge housing tracts were being built. Baby boomers were being born. Everybody was moving. People from the east were going west. People from the west were going east. Everybody wanted a fresh start and a breath of fresh air after all those years of fighting and just a terrible time. A lot of good things happened during that time period, and a lot of bad things happened. And I kind of addressed both of those in One Good Deed.
Thank you for that. Tell me more about your research into this post-World War II, please.
I've always loved the time period. My favorite films from that time period, Chinatown and The Big Sleep, 30s and 40s. And I've watched a lot of television series, read lots of books about the time period. My dad and nine of my uncles fought in World War II, and I, growing up, would listen to their stories about being in the Navy or the Air Force, the Army, Marines. And I got a good feel for that. Plus, I went and did my own research as well. You read a lot of books. You talk to people who lived during that time. You go online and look at some of the cars and the fashions and the weapons that were used back then. I had to sort of, understand better how detectives and the police would do the work back then. There was no CSI. There were no computers. There was no DNA. For being a detective, it was more of a gut thing, talking to people, not believing anything they tell you until you can confirm it from another source. So it was just a different era. And I guess going back in the 49 and realizing how people lived back then made me understand even more so today how life has changed. When there were no smartphones, no internet, no computer, very few planes, people traveled either by foot or car or by train or bus. And there wasn't nearly as much convenience. There was no Amazon to deliver stuff to you the next day. People had to be far more independent, in fact, than they are today. We're dependent in many ways, even though we're a modern society. You take away three or four of the things we count on every day, and, I think society would collapse. But back then, people, had more charge of their lives.
Awesome. What's it like to, and I don't want to say it's a risk because I'm sure it'll always turn out well, but to risk moving into another direction with your readers?
You've got to. I think you have to, because otherwise you have a tendency to stagnate. And if you want to be in, the writing profession or any profession for the long haul, I think you have to take risks, because otherwise you get bored with it, and that boredom is going to show through. Your writing is going to go down. Whatever you're doing is going to go down. It's not going to be as crisp and as sharp and as innovative as it could have been if you'd gotten outside of your comfort zone. So I would always encourage people to do something different. If you fall down, so what? Everybody falls down. Everybody makes mistakes. That's why we're human. So it's much better to take that risk than not take it.
Yes. Tell me again about seeing a thriller or two hit the big screen.
Yeah, we sold the rights for the Amos Decker series to Village Roadshow for a television series. Hopefully that'll come about. We have another series in development, not based on one of my books, that we are very close to an actress signing on, very prominent award-winning actress signing on, and maybe it'll get on the small screen. And the Archer series, there are a lot of people who are excited about this one because it is different and has a very strong male lead and very strong female characters as well. So, you know, they're shopping this one right now. We'll see. But, look, I've been in this game a long time, and the one thing I don't count on is Hollywood doing anything. So that's why I just write the books. Yeah. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, so what?
And one good deed by you, David Baldacci. You know, with the time we have left, I have to ask you about the Wish You Well Foundation. How is it going?
Yeah, you know, we really have changed gears a lot. We had a really great year last year, and this one is starting off with a bang as well. We just approved a bunch of different applications, and our take now is just really total family literacy. So whereas before, for instance, we didn't necessarily pay for child care or for people coming in, or paying for food for people coming in to learn, we now fund programs that do that because we understand that if, you know, people can't afford child care, so if they can't have a place for their kids to be, they can't come in and learn how to read. So we pay for, you know, those types of things as well. And we're trying to have a very positive environment all the way around and trying to help people as much as possible to overcome the obstacles they may have to actually coming in and learning how to read at a higher level. And again, this is not ESL simply. This is not just for people that were not born here. There were a lot of Americans are born in this country, went through the education system, and came out the other end with little ability to read, and we're trying to change that.
Yes. All right. Is there a take-home message from One Good Deed?
You know, I think that we should appreciate what we have today. Society back then was a lot less fair, a lot more prejudiced, a lot more discriminatory. And we should keep in mind that if we don't think that and we don't believe that, we can end up right back where those people were, and that's not a good place.
All right. How do we find out more information about your latest?
You can go to davidbaldacci.com and find out all about all the books and One Good Deed. And One Good Deed is available everywhere, online, bookstores, and libraries.
All right, keep up your good work and remind and come back to West Michigan when you can. David Baldacci, thank you very much. One Good Deed, where all fine books are sold. You take care.